It's lovely to see you all. I hope you've recovered after the freezing weather last week.
Yes, indeed.
That was all gone. I'd just like to say hello. I'm Gina. I'm a friend of Jackie Crisp's, and she's invited me today.
Ooh. Oh, lovely.
Welcome. Nice to see you,
Gina. Hi, Jeannie. How are you?
Hiya. Good, thanks. Hiya.
Lovely to see you. So where are you joining us from then, Jeannie?
I'm in a little village called Banningham, which is in North Norfolk, about 9 miles from Cromer.
Right.
All right. Yeah.
Avika doesn't do anything online, and I normally do the Norwich podcast, but when Jackie said you were doing this, I thought, well, I'll come and join you today.
Really lovely to see you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
So just to has Jackie explained how we do things?
Not really, but that's okay. Well,
the service will come up in a bit, so Alan is our taking person. So Alan will kind of do the screen, and the songs come up on video as well. We tend to be muted except for the people who are involved in the service. So Janet is going to be the person doing the bold words. So we all say them together, but only Janet's voice will be able to be heard because of that.
Okay.
So whole issue with kind of lag on Zoom.
Yes, I understand.
So just join in and... you know, worship as you would like to.
Of course, thank you.
Right, according to my clock, it's 10 o'clock. So it's lovely to see you all. Welcome to our act of worship this morning. So we are going to be live in a moment. Thank you for everybody who is involved in the Lent reflections with the Church of England's Lent live, whether you've got one of the booklets or whether you've got the app on your phone and or the other ways that you're also marking Lent. So we're just going to... That would probably be a good idea. Let me know if you want any help in the chat. So it's lovely to see you all. Are there any, oh, I can't see everybody now, just a second. Are there any notices that everybody wanted to give before we begin? Quickly glancing around, nobody's leaping up and down saying yes. Let's pray then. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for this new day. We thank you for the warmth after the snow. And for the signs of spring that we see around us now. We pray that by your Holy Spirit, we will know your hope springing eternally back into our lives. And we pray that during our worship, you will guide us, you will meet with us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us worship God. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the unrighteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit.
Therefore, we give glory to God, who raised him up and gave us the promise of salvation. Amen.
Well, it is the first Sunday of Lent, and therefore we're going to be singing 40 days and 40 nights to help remind us about our Lenten time.
Thank you.
And so as we think about that journey through Lent, that sense that we are called to use this time to reflect on our relationship with God, we're going to use these words to reflect together as the people of God. So we need you, God, because life and living are tough and we feel so lost and alone.
Almighty God, we need your strength. In hope, we come to worship you.
We need you, God, because life as we know it is threatened and we are bewildered.
Trustworthy God, we need your fidelity. In expectation, we come to worship you.
We need you, God, because circumstances change.
Constant God, we need your strength. In faith, we come to worship you.
Generous God, we are in deep trouble and need your loving mercy, your encouragement, and your presence with us.
In trusting worship, we come to you. Amen.
And so we sing, Be Still My Soul, as we come towards our time of confession.
Be still my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change, He faithful will remain. Be still my soul. Your heavenly friend through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. Be still my soul, your God will undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Your confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Be still my soul, the waves and winds still know his voice who still my soul, when dearest friends depart and all is darkened in the veil of tears, then shall you bear and know his love, his heart, who comes to soothe your sorrow and your fear. Be still my soul, your Jesus can repay from his own fullness all he takes away. Be still my soul, the hour is hastening on when we shall be forever the Lord. When disappointment, grief, and fear are gone, sorrow for God, love's purest joys restore. Be still my soul, when change and tears are past, all safe and blessed we shall meet.
So in that song, we are invited to still our soul, despite all the storms that we find in our world as we continue this journey through COVID, through the impacts of events in life upon us. And as we still our soul, we come closer to our Lord. And so we see our own sinfulness displayed against his glory. And so we're going to come in the light of Christ into that time of confession. So let us just pause for a moment in stillness, stilling our soul before our Lord, before we use these words on the screen in front of us. We confess to you our selfishness and lack of love. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
We confess to you our fear and failure in sharing our faith. Fill us with your Spirit. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We confess to you our stubbornness and lack of trust. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
May God, who loved the world so much that he sent his Son to be our Saviour, forgive us our sins and make us holy to serve him in the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so we use this prayer for Lent. Holy God, our lives are laid open before you. Rescue us from the chaos of sin, and through the death of your Son, bring us healing and make us whole. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so now we have got two readings today. The first is going to be read by Leroy, and our second is going to be read by June. So, Leroy, thank you for our first reading.
Okay, so the first reading is taken from Genesis 9, verses 8 to 17. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as come out of the ark, it is for every beast of earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the cloud. It shall be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all of the flesh that is on earth." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And the second reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 3, reading from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Well done. And now Mel is going to give us our talk today. Thank you, Mel.
Good morning, everybody. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us today from your word. Amen. Just want to say that a few weeks ago, there was a momentous occasion in our household. And before you all think that I'm about to become a grandmother, nope, that's not it. That one of my children is getting married, nope, that's not it. I bought myself a new pair of wellies. Why in the world should that be momentous, you ask? Well, my old pair, we figured, were about 40 years old. Now, I know that some of you walk your dogs, and you will be saying, how can you possibly have a pair of wellies that lasted 40 years? I don't know. They were well used, but perhaps not as frequently as other people's. They went to several guide camps, sloshing through mud and water. They did the what I like to call the pajama dash. When you rush to the shower blocks at New Wine or Living Water. They went puddle jumping with my children. And more recently, they had been traversing the flooded ford here in Garveston. I think that was what finally did it. And they started to leak. Why am I talking about wellies? Well, our first reading today, we're talking about what happened after the flood, the great flood. God is talking to Noah. And of course, this flood bears no similarity to my local village one or any other floods that we've had in the last few years. And I don't intend to get into a discussion about whether the biblical flood indeed covered the whole earth or the whole known earth at that time. And I'm not going to talk about the inconsistencies of the flood story, the different numbers of animals. And if so many animals could inhabit such a small floating box, all the practicalities of having prey and predators in close proximity. Now, my focus today is on the symbolism of the promise or covenant God made with Noah and his sons. In Genesis 6, we see Noah is described as a righteous, blameless man who walked faithfully with God. And if you read the whole of the flood story from Genesis 6 to 9, you will see that Noah was obedient to God. He did everything God asked. And when he and his family finally left the ark, he built an altar to God and made a sacrifice to him, a sign of worship and thanksgiving. And God blesses him and promises that he will never again destroy the earth with a flood. And as a symbol of this new covenant or promise, God sets a rainbow in the sky and says that whenever a rainbow appears in the clouds, God will remember the covenant he has made between himself and all living creatures. And the rainbow is like a seal on a legal document. What is God saying about this covenant? In Genesis 6, we hear God telling Noah that all the people on earth have become corrupted and he was going to destroy them and literally start all over again with Noah and his family and representatives of all the animals and birds. The rainbow is the sign of this covenant, this promise. It is an eternal promise because God says he will never again allow the earth to be completely destroyed by flood. It's a symbol of hope. God has restored his relationship with humankind. It is a new relationship sealed with a promise. The rainbow has been used in recent months to symbolise our hope in the NHS. And when we set up the Link Mattershore Dementia Support Group, we used the rainbow as part of our design because our aim is to bring hope to those we serve. And Pride and other organisations also use the rainbow to symbolise hope. In our second passage that June read from 1 Peter, we find more symbolism. Here, Peter talks about baptism. He reminds us that there was disobedience to God at the time of Noah, and only 8 people, Noah's family, were saved through water. Peter says, in it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through baptism, and this water symbolises baptism that saves you also. He does not, however, mean that it is through baptism that you are saved. Baptism symbolises salvation. He clarifies this by going on to say, this water symbolises baptism that now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God. So we have some double symbolism here. The flood symbolises baptism, and baptism symbolises salvation. The flood water spoke of judgment. The wicked were destroyed by the flood, and in baptism, particularly in baptism by immersion, the going into the water and being submerged symbolises God's death, Christ's death and burial, and our sins are buried with him. Then, in coming out of the water, there is a sign of Christ's resurrection and the new life in him through this resurrection. We are saved by what baptism symbolises, Christ's death and resurrection. Peter says we can make a pledge of good conscience towards God. The act of baptism is a commitment on our part to make sure that what happens in baptism symbolises what will happen or has happened in our life. We have repented of our sins and put our trust and hope in Jesus. In infant baptism, parents and godparents make that pledge on behalf of the child, a promise to teach and encourage the child to make that decision to follow Jesus themselves when they are older and understand what that means. Baptism symbolises hope, the hope a believer has in Christ, the hope of a new life, of having a restored relationship with God. Our sin has been wiped away, just as the flood wiped away human wickedness, and we have a new life and a new hope. Alan said last week that we need to understand Jesus' true identity as the Son of God and Messiah. Today, we are looking at our response to that. Where is our hope? At the present time, there is a lot of talk about hope. Hope in a vaccine against COVID-19. A hope to get back to normality. Hope that after last week, where we seem to be in the depths of winter, compared to this weekend where we are in the depths of spring. But we have other hopes too as humans. And God has been challenging me. Where is my hope? As a family, we have had a difficult couple of years, and throughout it, God has asked me the same question. Where is your hope? It is easy in our Western world to allow our hope to be built on things other than God. Our possessions, our money, our families. I believe God wants to bless us, and these blessings may be in the form of people, like Alan and Sue's new baby granddaughter, and things. But he doesn't want us to lose our hope in him. He should be our first hope. I said my old wellies were 40 years old, and as a fashion item, they were nothing. And I was honestly tempted at times to trade them in for a smart pair of green hunter boots or some snazzy stripy ones, but they were still serviceable. But what about other things? I ask these questions of myself as well. Do we feel the need to have the latest technology? The newest smartphone? The latest fashion? Do we replace things because they no longer suit our colour scheme? Do we have to have what our friends have? Are our futures bound up in how much we have in savings and the security we feel that that holds? I've chosen some of the songs today as reminders to me. Later, we're going to sing, "My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness." Can I truly sing that? There is a different version to this song, which goes on to say, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all the other ground is sinking sand." I didn't choose that version, but how apt it is. God is faithful. He won't let us down. We can depend on him. Other things we build our hope on are like sinking sand, not stable or reliable. None of us know what is round the corner. And I believe this pandemic has more than taught us that. I've also chosen "And Can It Be?" because I was baptised as an adult as well as an infant, frowned on upon, I know, by the Church of England, but I came to faith in a Baptist church when I was a teenager. And it was the custom to choose a song for the congregation to sing when you came up out of the water, symbolising your new life in Christ, expressing your new faith. And I chose the two verses from "And Can It Be?" that begin, "Long my imprisoned soul, and no condemnation now I dread," which express my salvation and the new hope I had in Jesus. I find it hard to sing, "My chains fell off, I rose, went forth and followed thee," without a tear, even to this day. In a minute, we're going to sing, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul." The lyrics for this song are found in Psalm 25, which is the psalm for today. It says, "My hope is in you every moment of the day." I hope you will join me to sing this and consider if you can make this your prayer and desire. It also says, "No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." This has been my prayer for the last 2 years when I've been struggling. Whatever happens, Jesus is there for me. And a little later, we're going to hear a testimony that June is going to share with us about hope. So my question today, during this first Sunday of Lent, is, where is your hope? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, at this time of Lent, when we turn to you again, and we think about Christ's journey to the cross that brought us salvation, may our hope be in you, and may it be our first hope. Amen.
Thank you, Mel. And now we are going to respond to your words, your challenge about where we find our hope, by singing "To You, O Lord."
The Lord is faithful to his promises and loving to all he has made.
They shape the talk. Wait, they shape the talk. We'll never be put to shame. That's why my eyes are on you, oh Lord. Surround me, defend me, oh how I need you. To you I lift up my song. To you I lift up my song.
Now, June is going to share with us the testimony. Thank you very much.
This testimony is from our daughter who's in America, and it's about a lad who actually had no hope. It was the beginning of December, and our daughter went to a gas station in America to fill up the car with gas. When she'd finished and she was going to get out the car to pay, she felt the Holy Spirit say to her, "When you get in to pay, I want you to say to this young lad that I love him and that I'm thinking about him and care for him." Sarah sat in the car for some time because she thought, "I can't do this, not at a gas station. You know, this isn't the right place, Lord." But she just sat there, and in the end she felt, "Well, what have I got to lose? I better obey what God has asked me to do and do it." So she went into the gas station and this lad served her, and she looked at him and said, "I feel that God is asking me to tell you that he loves you and that he cares for you and that is thinking about you." To which this lad's mouth just dropped open in disbelief. And after a conversation that went on between them, he actually committed his life to the Lord. And Sarah was obviously delighted. and recommended that he got in touch with the church. She gave him some details and she left him at that. His name was Connor. He was about 18 years old, she thinks. Well, that was before Christmas. This week, she went into that same gas station to fill up again with gas. And this lad happened to serve her again. And it was the first time she'd seen him. So she said to him, "How are you? How are things going since I spoke to you in December?" And he said, "Well, yes, it touched me and I've been thinking a lot about it. I haven't been to church." And he said, "I've decided to look into Buddhism to see if I can find Jesus." So Sarah's reply immediately was, "You don't need Buddhism or anything like that. You just need Jesus." And she said, "How did you feel the day I prayed with you?" And he said, "Well, I was just totally lifted and I was really encouraged." And he said, "What I didn't tell you on the day, but I'll tell you now, 2 days before you spoke to me, I had just been to the gun shop and bought a gun. And after the day you spoke to me, I was going to commit suicide. And because you spoke to me and prayed with me, it has stopped me from doing that. And I now have hope." And so Sarah spoke to him at length, and what she decided to do was to ring another guy who was similar age to him and ask him to phone him up and talk to him, which she has done. And this young person has phoned him and they're in contact now. And now this guy is being mentored by a lad of his own age. So someone who was without hope has now got hope in Jesus, which is wonderful. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you, June, for that amazing testimony. So I think let's just pray, shall we? Father God, we thank you for that testimony and we thank you for that person, that young man who was without hope and feared that saw no future. We thank you that because Sarah prayed, spoke your word to him, was obedient to you, that you gave him hope when he had none. So we thank you for that hope. We pray for us that in the times when we feel cut off, we may know hope, and help us to be hope givers, hope sharers in the places that you put us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, well done.
And we're now going to declare our faith together. And we're using the form of the creed that we find in Philippians, Paul's book of Philippians, because it speaks about Jesus's obedience to God, that through his obedience, he gave us salvation. And our hope is in this Jesus, Son of God. So let us affirm our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Though he was divine, he did not cling to equality with God, but made himself nothing.
Taking the form of a slave, he was born in human likeness.
He humbled himself and was obedient to death, even the death of the cross.
Therefore, God has raised him on high and given him the name above every name.
That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every voice proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord.
To the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
And so we give glory to Father, Son and Holy Spirit as we sing And Can It Be, as mentioned by Mel.
Thank you.
We're going to share the piece together, and in a moment we will be able to see each other, and we'll be unmuted and be able to share the grace together in this joyous cacophony that is a Zoom sharing of the piece. But as we're reminded, it is through Christ that we're able to have true peace, peace with God. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us access to his grace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Peace be with you all.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace of the Lord.
Peace be with you, everybody.
Peace with you, everybody.
Okay. Peace with you all. And now we're going to turn to our time of prayer, and Joyce is going to lead us in our prayers. And we're going to use today the response, Lord, in your mercy, and then we'll all respond, hear our prayer. And then Joyce will close the prayers with Merciful Father, and then we'll all respond, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Joyce.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for our modern technology, which allows us to meet, to praise and worship you together, and to also see each other without physical contact. We give thanks for Mark, Sally, and Andrea, and for all who serve you within this benefice and help whenever and wherever they can. We give thanks for Edna, for her strong faith and the way she would help people whenever she could. We pray for her nephew, Mark, who was with her at the time of her death, and for other members of her family. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for Colin and Sally following the death of Colin's mum, and also for Cheryl following the death of her father. We pray for all who have recently lost a loved one, including my own children, Andrew and Carol. We pray for healing for Linda Brandish, for Jackie's mum, and others known to us. If you would like to name anybody now, please do so. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you at any time and you hear us. We give thanks for our benefice and for each church family within it. We pray, Lord, that you will help each one of us to spread your word and your love. May we all feel your presence throughout this coming week. We also pray for our own families and friends, that those who don't know you will come to know you. We continue to pray for Paula and Derek and thank you for all they do in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, Lord, for the family of Jean Beckham, who was a member of Wellborn Church. We pray for peace and comfort for all who are mourning at this time. Please be with us all, Lord, during this coming week, and I pray that we will feel your presence with us. Merciful Father, accept these prayers.
For the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And now shall we say the Lord's Prayer together, in whichever version you are comfortable with. Our Father,
in heaven,
art in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Now, as we come towards the end of our act of worship, we need the previous, thank you. next one. Previous one, please, Alan. That's it. And as we come to the towards the end of our worship, we're going to commit ourselves afresh to God by using these words on the screen. And we will be closing with a song. But before we do that, it's been lovely to see you all. And please do stay behind. And we will be joining together as a benefice in our coffee time. And the timer will come on and then we'll be split up into breakout rooms. Please do stay behind and join. It's great to be able to join together across households and across villages and from the different congregations and join together. So please do stay for that after the service. But now let us commend ourselves into God's keeping with these words. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
O my God, in you I trust.
You are the God of my salvation.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul.
In you I hope all the day long.
O my God, in you I trust.
Remember, Lord, your compassion and love, for they are from everlasting.
To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust.
And may God, who raised from the death of sin, and from the death of sin raised you to new life in Christ, keep you from falling and set you in the presence of his glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among us and remain with us always. Amen.
Amen.
And so we sing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the
Well, it was lovely to see you all today. Thank you for joining us with our worship. And please do stay behind. The timer will come up to give enough time for you to go and make a cup of tea or coffee and then join together as we share in fellowship at the end of our service. I pray that God will be with you this week. It did occur to me earlier on, I mentioned the Live Lent booklets that have been available. I don't know, I haven't yet had an opportunity to do an audit to see how many more we've still got available. There may be some at the office or around the benefice. I've got one left outside the vicarage, which is Welcome to a Good Home, or using the app. But if you do feel that when you're doing that reflection, or indeed any other Lenten kind of discipline, that you feel the Lord is touching you in a way, please do share that with us. It'd be lovely to have your testimony on a Sunday morning, or indeed, if you just wanted to write a little something, if there's something has struck you. You know, this week we've been thinking a little bit about our own journey of faith and how we came to faith, and inviting others to share that story of faith. So if something does strike you, please do sort of tell us, share it with us. And we could either share it on your behalf, or you can share it personally on a Sunday morning, or with each other as a way of encouraging and lifting each other up during this continued time of lockdown and being physically isolated from each other. Anyway, that's enough from me. And we better have the timer and coffee.